For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, trying to bring you a wide variety of really good information all about you and your health. We are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and next Sunday, Kevin will be hosting a discussion about back-to-school essentials for kids. Very timely. The show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com, and you can visit the site to hear previous radio shows. And also visit the Village Green site or the store on Cedar Lane for expert advice on supplements. Village Green is your resource for questions about your health, and they carry superior supplements from many manufacturers, including their own Pathway products. Now, today we are talking about how to free yourself from emotional eating, and our guest is Meryl Hershey Beck. She is a psychotherapist in EMDR, energy medicine, and other healing modalities, and she spent the first half of her life as a closet eater, gaining weight and feeling overwrought, and this sent her on a quest, and she has a website and book that I think is very interesting, and you can go on StopEatingYourHeartOut.com. I like the name of that, Meryl, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dana. And it's interesting that one of the things about when people go to my website, I'm still in the book launch time, so not only do they get the book when they purchase it, but they get 30 free bonus gifts.
Well, good, good. Excellent. So that's even more of a reason to go on the site.
Right.
As far as Stop Eating Your Heart Out, tell us a little bit about how you got interested, and you applied your education and your licensure as a professional clinical counselor to this area. So obviously your experience drove you in that direction. So tell us a little about that.
Absolutely correct. I grew up as a binge eater, a closet eater, and emotional eater, and then later on I became a psychotherapist, so I have both personal and professional knowledge around it. As a child, when I was having difficult feelings, I turned to food in order to feel better. And it's not unusual because in our society, we link food up with feeling better or getting rid of pain. Just think of the child that goes to the doctor, gets a shot, and then the doctor immediately says, "Here, honey, here's a lollipop." Or you
right.
fall down and skin your knee, and mommy says, "Oh, honey, don't cry, here's a cookie." So we pair it up very early in life. In order to feel better, you have to get something to eat. It'll take away the pain. Many people, as they grow up, they find other ways to soothe and other ways to take away pain. It didn't happen for me. I continued to use food so that I used it like a drug. So the alcoholic will pick up the drink, and the drug addict will shoot up the drugs, and I picked up the food. It was the same thing. It was my drug of choice.
Food is a drug, and I'm glad you brought that up. Well, let's talk more about that.
Well, for me, whenever I was having any kind of feeling, anything that was at all intense, and sometimes it wasn't even a feeling. Sometimes it was just boredom. I found that food became my best friend. It ended up turning on me, but for a long time I saw it as my best friend. And when it ended up turning on me, I no longer had any control, and once I started eating, I couldn't stop. But for so many years, I was a public dieter and a private binger, so nobody knew the vast amount of food I could consume. In fact, when I was a kid, I was in elementary school, and we went to school camp, and there was a pancake eating contest. And I usually didn't let people see how much I can eat, but, you know, for a contest, of course I could show people how much I can consume. And I was declared the winner for the girls. But I wasn't finished eating yet. I could have kept going, and they already called me the winner.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I had totally had no idea what it felt like to be, you know, just satisfied with food. I stopped when I was stuffed or when I was feeling sick to my stomach. In fact, later on as an adult, I would eat and eat and eat, have such indigestion and such stomach pains. I'd pop in a few Pepto-Bismol, curl up in a fetal position, wait for the pains to go, and then get up and eat some more. So it really was a drug. I had no control over it.
And let me ask you, at the time that's going on, are you in denial about it, or are you aware of it and it becomes kind of a secret?
Oh, it definitely became a secret. I didn't let anyone know that I was eating this way. In fact, as a kid, I remember that my dentist said to me, for many years it was a secret. My dentist said to me, "Wow, you have a lot of cavities. I don't understand why. I know you don't eat any sugar." Not in front of people, I didn't.
That's interesting that the dentist picked up on that.
Right.
Didn't your family notice the missing food?
Well, I don't know how they didn't, but they didn't. My mother would bring home this warm Jewish rye bread, and I didn't want anybody to know how much I was eating, so I would eat pieces in the middle and then push the bread together so it looked like a smaller loaf, and nobody ever called me on it.
Oh, that's funny. You're very clever. Very clever. So food, were there particular foods? We talk about comfort foods. What particular foods were most important to you, or was it all food?
Well, it was having a huge amount, the huge quantity is what counted for me. However, there were particular foods that were my major comfort foods. I had my tonsils out when I was six, and ice cream became my comfort food. And I wasn't ever satisfied with a small amount of ice cream, and I couldn't get a big amount. So as a family treat, on Sundays, we would sometimes go to the local ice cream parlor, and I would get my favorite mint chocolate chip ice cream cone. And as soon as I started eating it, I felt immense sadness because I knew it would be gone in a second. And I wanted the whole gallon. I didn't want one little ice cream cone.
Was your weight increasing during this time?
Yes, my weight was increasing. In elementary school, my mother wanted me to go shop with her in the Chubbies department, but I refused. So I just wore a size 14. And then when I got to junior high school, I went to a junior size 15. So it was always the largest size in that range.
And it was an enigma then. They couldn't link your weight with the food because they didn't know about it.
Well, they knew that I would eat a lot during meals because it was there. But they didn't have any idea about all the sneak eating that I would do that particularly took off when I got my driver's license at 16. And then I had free access because I could use the car, I could go to the mall, and still being a total sneak eater, I would walk into the mall and go to the chocolate shop, and my favorite was white chocolate, which is interesting because now I can't stand it. It tastes chemical to me. But I would get white chocolate, put it in my purse, and as I'm walking through the mall, I put a piece in my mouth, but at first I'd look around to see if anybody's looking at me. So, you know, just all this sneaky stuff.
Yeah, and I would imagine that you start to feel badly about that.
Oh, I felt awful about myself. I felt terrible about my size. I felt terrible that I was deceiving everybody. I was filled with self-loathing. I had childhood depression, which was never diagnosed. But now as a professional, I can look back on it and know that it was childhood depression when I went to a friend's house who lived 10 houses away. And I remember that I had to say to my feet, okay, one more step, one more step, one more step to get me home because I was so depressed.
You know, that's interesting because you were using, it sounds like, the food as your medication, self-medicating with food.
Right.
And it's interesting since you have experience now as an adult and a psychotherapist. We talk a lot about nutrition and supplements, foods, but I'm wondering, had you been put on an antidepressant, do you think that would have brought down the craving?
Well, I was actually put on speed instead. You know, we used diet pills, and all my friends were doing so great, and I felt awful on it. So I thought, isn't that interesting? And when I was 14, that was the thing to do. Everybody was going to the doctor and the diet doctors, and I felt terrible on it. So an antidepressant may have helped, because speed didn't.
Interesting. So the meds that actually cut appetite did not work for you.
Not at that time.
Because I know we link this kind of eating with low serotonin, and we support serotonin. We can support it nutritionally, 5-HTP, magnesium, B vitamins, niacinamide, et cetera. But for some people, the meds really are necessary, and your kind of eating reminds me of a serotonin type of problem.
I think you're absolutely right. And later on, when I became a psychotherapist, I did go on to an antidepressant for a short period of time, just to get myself balanced out, and didn't need it for very long.
Well, that's excellent. So you've had quite a journey and quite a lot of experience with this. And we're going to, what we want to do is talk about your journey, talk about the website, the book, what your message is, and leave our listeners with some solid tips and also some more information about signs that we can look for. Folks, if you've just tuned in with us, you're on the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, and we are brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We're going to be right back after this break with Merrill Hershey Beck. We're talking about how to free yourself from emotional eating. We've talked about comfort foods, and we're going to explore more and more in segment second. 2, 3, and 4. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care, to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where GeroFormula's NeuroOptimizer comes to the rescue. NeuroOptimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. NeuroOptimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. NeuroOptimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress at work? Pressure from the boss, budget cuts, impossible workloads? It can all take a serious toll on your health, but we can help. Village Green Apothecary has everything you need for a healthier lifestyle, a wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for 45 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. The show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. And I'm Dana Lake, alternating the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro. We are here every Sunday morning at 10 AM. And Kevin will be hosting next week's discussion about back-to-school essentials for kids. Now, the show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com, so make sure and visit the site to hear previous radio shows. Now, our guest today is Merrill Hershey Beck, and we're talking about how to free yourself from emotional healing. She is a psychotherapist, licensed professional clinical counselor, trained in EMDR, energy medicine, and other healing modalities. And she just described the first half of her life as a closet eater, gaining weight, feeling overwrought. And we talked about the comfort foods and the effect of low serotonin, that this is often linked. But there's much more in depth that we're going to talk about now. And I want to give the website www.stopeatingyourheartout.com. So, Merrill, let's keep going.
Well, I have questions from parents a lot about children who are eating too much. And I hesitate to give them my real recommendation because I don't know how they deal with their parents, with their children, excuse me. For me, growing up in a looking good era, you know, we had stewardesses. They had to make certain weight. You know, everything had to look beautiful. We would get dressed up to go to the airport. You know, just it was such a looking good time. And in terms of that culture, because we had to look good, I could only have those looking good feelings. So I was allowed to be happy, and I could be sad, but it better be for a good reason, like somebody died, not just because I was disappointed I wasn't invited to a party. So whenever those feelings that were yucky came up, you know, sadness, jealousy, anger, hatred, any of those, I had nowhere to go with them. And I learned early on that I could use food to push them down. And so when I would have a feeling, you know, I'd feel sad about something or upset about something, I would immediately go and have extra food to push it down. What I found out years and years later is I didn't push down just those yucky feelings. I pushed down all feelings. So I subdued my happiness and all those great feelings that they all want to hold on to. So parents who are worried about their children, if the parent can allow the child to express feelings appropriately, then that child has much more of a handle on not needing to use food to suppress them. And that's what emotional eating is all about. Instead of feeling the feelings and working through them and expressing them appropriately, going opening the refrigerator and opening the cupboard, grabbing something to stuff them down with.
You know, that's interesting. You talked in the first segment about rewarding with food, especially treats. And we start this so early so that you're supposed to feel better when you get the food. And maybe, I guess, momentarily you do, but what you're saying is not long term. And that if people are stuffing their feelings, they're going to be stuffing their bodies with food, or it can lead to other addictive type behaviors, as you mentioned, alcohol, drugs. And we're talking here about food being the drug.
Right.
So how do you as a psychotherapist working with children, adolescents, and families, how do you approach this to a family whose unwritten program is we don't talk about the feelings?
Well, actually, I don't work with families. I work with adults, but I once in a while will have a parent who I'm working with in therapy come in and say they have an issue. But that's a parent who's in therapy who's willing to work on their feelings. So I don't actually deal with parents who aren't working, allowing feelings to come up. After I wrote my book, Stop Eating Your Heart Out, I immediately started my second book, which may or may not ever be written, but it was a book that I wish I had had as a child, which was all feelings are okay. It depends on how you express them so that you don't hurt anybody with them. but all feelings are okay. And I wish I had had that message as a child because I didn't get that one. And so parents who will allow feelings for their kids, really, that gives them a start on not having to go to food to feel better because they know that feelings are acceptable.
You know, I like that, that all feelings are okay, and you mentioned that it's really how you express those feelings.
Right.
So it can be in a healthy manner. What other steps can individuals take for themselves if they're in a family that or a marriage where feelings are suppressed? I'm sure talking to a psychotherapist makes all the difference, but are there other things they can do?
Well, let me just say that I did not go into therapy myself willingly. You know, it's for many people, and especially my family, and I know it's true for lots and lots of people, we don't go to therapy. We don't air our dirty laundry. And besides, we don't have any. So the only reason I went to therapy is because when my son was born, my daughter started having a separation anxiety, and our pediatrician, who was very body-oriented, non-psychological, said, oh, I think you need to see somebody. And I went to see the social worker, and she said, well, you know, I prefer to work through the parent rather than directly with the child. Oh, I knew my number was up. Uh-oh. Now it was really going to find out all these things that were wrong with me. And I was terrified. And I went in every week and talked to her, and it was scary, and I allowed myself to have some of my feelings, and I learned so much. And about 20 years later, I became a psychotherapist myself.
Well, good training, good background.
Yeah, that was my first step. That was my beginning of my education. But the reason I became a psychotherapist is because I used food as a drug of choice. My first place of finding recovery was going to 12-step recovery meetings, similar to Alcoholics Anonymous, except they were around food. And I know that some people try these meetings and they don't like them, and that's okay. There's lots of other avenues. This was my first step. And what it did for me is it showed me that I was really an okay person. I saw people that were having feelings, and it was an okay place to express feelings. It opened me up spiritually. And even probably more important, because we're talking about food, it showed me what amount of food is that I needed on my plate. I was eating huge quantities. For instance, I remember one time my mother came over and said, oh, I bought steaks for you and your husband, and she brought us each a one-pound rib steak, which we ate. And later on, when I got into 12-step recovery, I would buy a three-quarter-pound rib steak, and I'd share it with another person. So it was a huge difference on the portion sizes.
So this is important because I do work with patients and trying to help them with diet. And this is a real basic issue. What is a serving size?
Mm-hmm.
How many servings to eat? And many people are blind about that.
Right.
They don't know, is a quarter a cup, 2 cups? And if your appetite keeps telling you you're hungry, if your apostat is turned off, then you keep going. So you really had to retrain yourself or train yourself to learn about serving sizes.
Absolutely. And at first I thought, I can't live on that little bit. And then I got a kick out of seeing how little I could actually live on and still feel great. It was, I mean, not anorexic kind of little, but just, oh, instead of eating 8 ounces of meat or protein at a meal, maybe I only needed 4 ounces or 3 ounces.
Was it a weaning process, Meryl, or did you jump into, okay, I'm cutting this in half?
No, that was a good question. It really was a weaning process because at first I decided I would eat 3 meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time. And so my meals were sometimes feasts. And then later on, I followed a specific food plan. But it was enough for me not to eat in between meals. That was a huge piece for me at first. And I thought, well, maybe I can do this for a day or two. And I stacked up year after year of 3 meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time. And it was marvelous because I never thought I could do that. And the way I did it for me was to allow myself to delay gratification. So if my husband were eating popcorn, for instance, at night by the TV, and I really wanted it, I'd tell myself, okay, you can have it tomorrow with a meal. Most of the time, I no longer cared about it with a meal, but once in a while, I still had it. So that was my first step, was learning how to delay gratification by allowing myself not to eat between meals, and then I followed a food plan, which cut those huge portions down to moderate size, so I'm not eating three feasts a day.
Well, that's excellent advice. And in that food plan, did you discover some foods for you that were trigger foods, or were all foods trigger foods?
Well, there were certain things that I couldn't eat a little bit of because I'd want the whole thing. You know, ice cream being one thing.
Uh-huh.
So many people are addicted to sugar. And I was really disappointed because I totally cut out sugar for 8 weeks and I didn't see any change in my mood, any change in cravings, any change in weight. So it was very surprising and disappointing when I cut out sugar what happened.
So ice cream was a trigger food for you.
Right.
And
right.
That had a huge emotional link, as you had mentioned before.
Correct. And the other thing that I forced myself to do, which was really hard, was if I wanted to eat anything, quote, fattening, I couldn't do it by myself. I had to do it in public. So the first time, because, you know, I was so sure that everybody always thought I was on a diet and being such a good girl and doing it right. And so the first time I ever ate anything, which happened to be an ice cream sundae, in public was with a girlfriend. And I ate it because I had promised myself I'd do it in public, but I didn't have any enjoyment. Because it was like doing something very private out in public, and I couldn't enjoy it. It took me many years to be able to eat anything, quote, fattening out in public and enjoy it, because I was always thinking people were watching me and criticizing and judging.
Very fascinating. So you've learned a lot of skills with regard to this.
Mm-hmm. And we started out talking about being a psychotherapist because I was feeling so good in these meetings, and I started sponsoring lots and lots and lots of people. And I learned new tools, and that's what my book's filled with, and I can tell you some of them in a little while. And as I learned the tools and worked on myself with them, and they include things like meditation and inner child work and visualization, I had my sponsorees doing it, and they were getting better. And so finally in 1988 or 89, I said, I might as well get a master's in counseling. I like doing this stuff. So I became a licensed counselor in 1990.
Well, that's excellent. And we're going to talk more about the tools in the next segment. And for those who have just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more interesting information on how to free yourself from emotional eating with Merrill Hershey Beck.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new CogniSure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, alternating the show with my co-host, Dr. Kevin Passaro. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 AM, and next Sunday, Kevin will be hosting a discussion about back-to-school essentials for kids. The show is streamlined through myvillagegreen.com, so please do visit the site to hear previous radio shows. We've been discussing how to free yourself from emotional eating with Merrill Hershey Beck, who is a psychotherapist, licensed professional clinical counselor, and she's trained in EMDR, energy medicine, and other healing modalities. We want to talk about some of the tools that people can use that are trying to change that food is their comfort level, the overeating is their drug of choice. So let's talk more about the tools, Merrill.
So Dana, I think the first step for anybody with anything that they want to change is awareness. And actually, this is the first thing I do in my book, is have people write their eating history. And when we look back at the way we've used food, sometimes we get a big aha for some people. Or we look back at the way we've been obsessed about weight. You know, I used to get crazy with the scale. If it was down, I'd feel wonderful. And if it was up, you know, I'd have a miserable day and feel depressed all day long. So I gave all my power and made the scale my God. And so what I have people do is start with an eating history. And then the next assignment, as soon as we start looking at the past, is to start looking at the present and write a food mood diary, which means when you're eating or right after you've eaten, write down what you ate, and if you were aware of any feeling that was present when you were eating or if there was a triggering event. You know, my child just sassed me back and I grabbed potato chips because I was feeling angry and hopeless and helpless, whatever it is. So we can start tracking the connection between what's going in your mouth and what the event is and what you're feeling around it. And then the next awareness piece that continues is I love the having people journal. Because when we journal, we are start writing, and very often some things come up that are not at a conscious level. Because we all know that we're not conscious of everything that's going on for us and inside of us. And I think journaling helps bring it up and out. And then we can see it right there on paper. We can say, oh, look at that. I didn't even know I was upset about such and such and such. And journaling not only helps us become aware of it, it helps us dispel some of those emotions. And we feel better about it. So those are the first pieces to start with, is awareness.
Well, I like the steps you take, because, and I would imagine the hardest part is being honest on paper, writing down what your eating history has and what you're doing now.
Right.
That's got to be hard for many people.
Very much of an eye-opener. And the more honest we are with ourselves, the easier we can change things. But they say the deception of others is nearly always rooted in the deception of self. So how often do we rationalize, oh, you know, it was on my kid's plate. I wasn't going to throw it away. It was only one bite.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we rationalize all the time when it makes sense to us. And as we start doing this inner work, we find out, oh, maybe I could have thrown that away or put it in a baggie and saved it for later. I didn't have to eat it at that moment.
Well, you have a lot of willpower. And what other tools do you expose people to so they can be successful?
One of the things that I ask people, my clients to do and people who I'm working with who are reading the book, is to make sure they have a strong support system, because it's like having a safety net. As we do work with ourselves, sometimes it gets to be really intense. Sometimes stuff comes up that's not pretty, and we want somebody to hold our hand as we're going through it, or somebody that'll just come over and stand and be with us, or walk with us, or talk to us so we don't have to open that cupboard or refrigerator. So having a support system, I think, is really, really important. For me, I needed to have a stronger spiritual connection than what I had as a child. Because as a child, I had a belief in God, but my God was a punishing God. And so I pictured God writing, keeping a little, tick, 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 checking it off, like did good, did good, did good, and then did one little bad, and it wiped out all the goods. So that's what my God was doing. And he was keeping track of, I didn't do anything big bad, all my little bads. And I write about him in the book because I've made amends for them. For instance, I didn't show any outward anger or jealousy toward my brother, who was born 6 years younger than me. But one day I said to him, hey, Denny, put your lip on the ice cube tray. And the skin, of course, pulled off. And I became the innocent. Oh, you poor thing. I didn't know that was going to happen. So I've made amends for that. He's forgiven me. And that's an example of the kind of thing I would do, because I had to always look good. But I was afraid that the God that I knew was keeping track of all those things. And someday I'd have to pay for it.
So it was fear, a lot of
total
fear.
Total fear. So when people would say to me, what's your religious belief? Or and I would say I'm agnostic. I don't know if there's a God or not. Because the God I really believed in was full of hatred and vengeance and revenge and punishment. I didn't want to believe in that God. So I went to one of the retreats that they had for our 12-step group. And the speaker said, and God loves me no matter what. I had never heard those words before. I really thought that I had to be good to receive any kind of divine love. And so I started listening to this person, and it started changing the way I believed in God, which is a pretty good thing, because otherwise I was living this place of fear that any day now I'm going to get punished for all these terrible things I did. And, look how terrible they were. My brother lost some of the skin off of his lip. It wasn't like I killed someone.
Yes, but as a child, those infractions can be very big in the mind.
Right, right. So I had a major spiritual awakening, and that became such a gift of my going to the recovery program. And I use that, and most of my clients are also involved in 12-step recovery. And we really do lean on our higher power. And know that our higher power can help us and doesn't give us more than we can handle and help us through and all those kind of things. So we have support on lots of levels, other people and also spiritual support. And also I teach a lot about self-care. I work a lot with women, and it's also true of men, but I work a lot with women who put everyone else before themselves. They don't even sit down to have a meal because they're busy feeding everybody else. When we're on the airplane, everyone always hears some version of, in case of sudden drop in atmospheric pressure, the oxygen mask will appear. Put your own mask on first before helping others. Well, that's true in life, too. If we don't fill ourselves first, what do we really have to give? We're a dry well trying to give and give and give, and we have to take care of ourselves. Whether that's meditation or taking time off or getting a babysitter or just sitting still or laughing or dancing or going to a movie, whatever it is to help fill ourselves. And then we no longer have to use food the way we were using it because we're being filled in other ways.
You make such a good point, and I honestly think the female greater tendency toward not caring for self has a lot to do with the hormonal differences, because if women weren't innately caring, our babies would not have made it and our species would be threatened. But it is hard for many people to be selfish, and that's the way they feel about it. The self-care is much better, and sometimes the only way I can get through to a patient is to say, if you want your child to be healthy, you've got to take care of yourself, because if you're not there, what happens to your child?
Right.
And sometimes it is the only motivator to get somebody to take care of themselves.
And we're such role models. We're such examples. We tell our kids to do such and such because they'll feel better, and then they see us doing just the opposite for ourselves. So they pick up more on what we do than on what we say.
Oh, absolutely. And I think they have eyes behind them in the backs of their heads. Talk a little bit more about some of the tools, meditation, energy work. Tell us a little bit of what you do there.
Okay. Well, there's lots of different kinds of meditations, and I mention a few in my book. For me, probably my favorite one is just to sit still and follow my breath. And I don't have to change anything, just being aware of it, because it takes us to a place of stillness. And I know that a lot of people have trouble meditating and they have trouble being still. And sometimes it's easier for them to, I know a woman who knits, and that's her meditation. I actually find washing dishes meditative or ironing meditative. And sometimes I go for a walk as a meditation. But it's a time of being still, being aware of your surroundings. If I'm outside, you know, let's say it's a meditative walk. So I'm listening to my breathing. I'm aware of my footsteps. I'm feeling the air. Is there any wind? What's the temperature? You know, it's being totally aware.
That is so important. You've made me aware. I use the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I sit outside and I'm just renewed. It's tough in the winter.
come visit me in Tucson.
Yes, oh yes. Well, if anyone's just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500. I'm Dana Lake, your host, and the show's brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. We're talking with Merrill Hershey Beck about how to free yourself from emotional eating. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more information after this break.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals. Committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formula supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. I'm Dana Lake, alternating the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, who will be with you next week, 10 AM. We're here Sundays at 10 AM, and he'll have a discussion about back-to-school essentials for kids. Very timely. The show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com, so visit the site to hear previous radio shows. We've been having a fascinating discussion about how to free yourself from emotional eating with Merrill Hershey Beck, who is a psychotherapist, licensed professional clinical counselor, and she's trained in EMDR, energy medicine, and other healing modalities, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, and even she's going to demonstrate a technique on the air.
Great. So I've done so many different things in terms of inner work and forgiveness work and letting go of resentments and gratitude work. And in the end of the 1990s, my world was totally turned upside down when I learned about energy medicine and energy techniques. And some of it was EMDR and some of it was EFT. But basically, I discovered, because I didn't see ourselves, I didn't even have this concept, you know, that we are energy beings. And Oriental medicine has known this for eons, and, you know, we know that we have meridian systems flowing through us, and chi, which is our energy, and sometimes it gets blocked and causes emotional or physical pain. And I have these techniques now help release that. So the one that I usually do with people is either EFT, emotional freedom technique, or one that's my colleague and I developed called RIT, Rapidly Integrated Transformation Technique. That'll take a little while. And if you want to, actually, there's a free ebook that I give away on my website, StopEatingYourHeartOut.com, that will explain those. All you have to do is sign up and get the free ebook. And so what I'd like to show you today, Dana, is something called WHEE, W-H-E-E, and it is a very quick way to use an energy technique when you're having an uncomfortable feeling that you'd like to lessen. So are you up for trying it?
Absolutely.
Okay, it was started by Dr. Dan Benar, who is a psychiatrist and was working with children and didn't have very much time, so he needed to develop something that was a very quick technique. And so the way he teaches it is to have you, and if you're driving, don't do this. I'll give you an alternate way of doing it for those of you who can't do it this way. If you cross your arms as if you're giving yourself a bear hug, and what you're going to do is tap your right hand and then alternate with your left hand. So you hear my clapping noise, I'm doing that. Sometimes people who are sitting at a desk can do it with their toes, you know, alternate right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. So what we're doing is crossing the meridian line, and we're getting the energy to flow. Dana, is there anything, and you don't need to tell me what it is there anything now that when you think about it, you have some feelings of distress, you're upset about it? One specific incident.
Absolutely. A friend's very ill.
Pardon me?
A friend is very ill.
Okay. When you think about that, what's the level of emotion if zero is none and 10 is intense?
Well, it's now down to about 6. She's getting better, so. But
okay.
I'm still concerned.
But just if you think about how awful it was when she was really ill,
mm-hmm.
okay, and cross your arms in that bear hug. Those of you listening can also just do it with your toes. If you're driving, I suggest not doing it until you get home. And alternate tapping and repeat after me. Even though I feel terrible about my friend.
Even though
I
feel terrible about my friend.
I totally and completely accept myself.
I totally and completely accept myself.
Even though it's horrible going through this with her.
Even though it's horrible going through this with her.
I totally and completely accept myself.
I totally and completely accept myself.
Even though I have a lot of fear around this.
Even though I have a lot of fear around this.
I totally and completely accept myself.
I totally and completely accept myself.
Even though I don't want to lose her.
Even though I don't want to lose her.
And feel so awful about this.
And feel so awful about this.
I totally and completely accept myself.
I totally and completely accept myself.
And then take a breath. And then think about her illness again and tell me if you're still at a 6 or if the number has changed.
Oh, I would say the number has changed.
And what is it now?
Oh, I'd say it's about a 3.
Okay. So that's how quick it can work. And I love, this is my favorite tool to use that nobody can see what I'm doing. You know, if I'm sitting there and, you know, just tapping my toes or lifting my toes, and it helps to release some of that emotional distress. Because it's moving the chi, it's moving the energy. That's one of the reasons it's working. It's getting it to flow again, to unblock it wherever it's blocked. If you've ever gone to an acupuncturist, they'll check all those different pulses, and they'll tell you, you know, you may have a blockage here, or it's constricted here, or it's sluggish here. And what this is doing is the same thing that the acupuncturist is doing, but we're not using needles.
Yes, it's very effective.
Mm-hmm.
Very effective. What I love is that now we accept, and from the traditional sense, we accept this concept of energy and chi. It has been considered on the edge, you know, sort of outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that it's being integrated in so many ways in traditional settings as well.
Right. I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
Any more tidbits? Well, you and I talked a little bit about food, and since I'm a nutritionist, I was going to put in the fact that many of the people that use food as a drug actually are addicted through an opiate mechanism to foods such as milk products, meaning cow milk products, and glutens,
mm-hmm.
and also soy. And these foods have the capacity to release opioids, opiate-like peptides. And if our gut isn't healthy, what we call leaky, and we've talked about that on the show, kind of like holes in the screen flies get in, these large opiates, which actually are designed to work on the gut and calm the gut, get through and go obviously to the brain. And what that does is have the dope effect. So it's calming. People then crave the foods. They can overeat. And so this is one component that we see. And you said yourself that you stay gluten-free.
Right. I'm gluten-free, and a lot of people I know are. And people, I often suggest that they see what it's like to give up first one, either one at a time, whether it's gluten or milk products first, whatever, to see if it feels any better. And very often it does. So I'm glad you brought that up, Dana.
Yeah, it is self-testing. There's nothing better than self-testing. We have tests that we utilize, but the self-test is the bottom line. So in these last few minutes, Meryl, what else do you want to share with our eaters? I'm reminding them that it's stopeatingyourheartout.com to look at your book, and you have lots of other tools available.
Right. Well, people who work with me really learn how to break the chains of emotional eating as they transform their relationship with food. And if anybody's interested in contacting me, they can go to the website. There's a contact form. They can go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/Meryl Beck, because I'd love to hear from you, and I will definitely get back to you when I have the time.
Well, that's excellent. Any more information and tidbits for our listeners?
I think one of the biggest ones is, as we do the work on ourselves, one of the goals, one of the unspoken goals, is to learn to accept that we're okay just the way we are. I don't know anyone that gets up in the morning and says, okay, how am I going to screw up my day today? You know, we put one foot in front of the other, and as we get tools, we're able to increase our healthy living. But we don't, it's not like, if so somebody's out there and binging now, it's not that they're a terrible, bad person. They're doing the best they can with what they have. And as they get more tools, they can change what they're doing. But so self-acceptance is really an underlying message that I give to my clients and I give them throughout my book, that we really aren't out to ruin our life. We're out to do the best. We'll do the best we can, and sometimes it's not so wonderful. And we learn how to forgive ourselves. I used to call myself, I was such a harsh critic with myself. I used to call myself stupid about everything. I mean, not really everything, but lots of things. And I just learned to change that, and now I say, oh, aren't I silly? I'll give you a real recent example. I flew back after visiting my parents, and my suitcase wouldn't close. I couldn't understand why my suitcase didn't close. So last night when I was packing to go on a next trip, I realized I had never unzipped this one section. There's a whole section I didn't use. In the past, I would have said, oh, you're so stupid. Why'd you, you know, didn't you even look? What's wrong with you? And this time I went, oh, boy, did I goof up. Well, I'm so silly. And it changes the energy. We're not beating ourselves up.
Wise advice, because, as you know, every negative statement you make to yourself or to someone else carries a lot of negative energy. And
absolutely right.
This self-acceptance is so important, and taking time to rewrite it. Sometimes I ask people to write down what it is they tell themselves, and rewrite it in a positive manner and repeat it over and over again. Bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like as humans we have this destiny to beat up on ourselves. And I think of the lists that people make, I myself do, and what we see on that list is what we didn't do. No matter what we cross off, we see what we didn't do. And
absolutely. You know, because we start out and our inner critic develops very early, based on the way we're raised, and we're raised to fit into society so that we are not rejected and we're not, looked down upon. And then our own inner critic takes over and is much louder than any parent's voice.
Amazing. Well, we have to have you back on the show, Meryl. This has been very interesting, and I do thank you for being our guest today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been great fun.
Yes, for me too. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. You can access this show or any of the previous shows through myvillagegreen.com. Now, we talk a lot on this show about the importance of breathing, of taking time out, taking that deep cleansing breath, holding it and letting it out. That alone can give you great solace and take a lot of tension away. But I like to always end the show with this statement. Please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.